It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Let me team gon' get the power. It's the power, power, power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, power, power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Let me team gon' get the power. It's the power, power, power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, power, power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field.
LSU fans, a little bit of an earlier live stream to accommodate LSU baseball this evening. We'll talk about the Vanderbilt series coming up in just a second. And obviously, we are going to spend a good bit of the time talking about the LSU spring scrimmage session that happened a little bit earlier today. And we already released a 30-minute film study of the scrimmage. I'll have it linked down below. Make sure you check it out. We're going to talk about Blake Baker. He revealed a huge key for the LSU defense. Are we going to get back to the old days of LSU defensive back play where we had mother freaking corners that would lock you down on the outside, straight bump and run? Put you in a phone booth. We'll talk about that coming up. But we're going to start with the breaking news. Might feel a little weird, but Haley Van Lith has decided to enter the transfer portal. So she is not going to the WNBA draft. If you would have said before the year began, is Haley Van Lith going to go to the WNBA? Or is she going to be playing college basketball at a completely different school not named LSU? You would probably say the WNBA. Haley Van Lith was the number one ranked player in the transfer portal. Haley Van Lith was one of college basketball's most prolific scorer, men's or women's, right up there behind the likes of Caitlin Clark. And she came over and there was just so much fanfare around it. Are we going to even miss Alexis Morris type of discussions? And this year, she was not good. She was not good. Now, she did have some Haley Van Lithian type of games, but no 30-point games. She had a huge 26-pointer versus a pretty solid Tennessee team on the road. But I want you to really take in her season. All right, before I give you my thoughts if this is actually a good move for LSU. Now, these are a bunch of numbers, and it's a lot to digest. And if you're listening to this via podcast form, I'll break it down for you. In the college basketball postseason, now there is confirmation that she was battling illness, but she went 2 of 7 from the field versus Rice, 1 of 5 from the field versus Middle Tennessee State, 1 of 8 from the field versus UCLA, and 2 of 10 versus Iowa. And remember, she is the option number 4 on this team. So a lot of these looks were pretty good looks. And she shot 20% from the field, 16% from 3. All right, that's just 4 NCAA tournament games. What about the other SEC tournament games? 3 of 7, 2 of 11, 5 for 11. She was an inefficient shooter from the outside. She could not really find her stroke from 3-point range. And something else you do notice are the turnovers. 2 turnovers versus Iowa, 1 versus UCLA, 1 versus Middle Tennessee, 5 versus Rice, 3 versus South Carolina, 3 versus Ole Miss. So in the postseason, It's tough. It's tough. Okay? For me, Haley Van Lith just did not play well. It just wasn't a good fit. I'm not saying that she wouldn't have been good next season. And I actually wanted her back for next year. But for her, she has one more year of college basketball. And this is unlike the NBA, where there's only a finite amount of WNBA roster spots that are open. So this final year of college basketball, she needs to really take advantage of it. And she probably doesn't want to risk it again with LSU saying, she didn't want to risk it playing another year at LSU if she wasn't going to be a fit in Kim Mulkey's system next year. My main point is I felt she should have come back to LSU because even though I shared all these numbers and she was turning the ball over and a bunch of, you know, poor three-point shooting, she's going to be on a team that fits her skill set a lot better next year because this floor is going to be spread out more now that Angel Reese is going to the WNBA. If Angel Reese isn't going to be there, that means there's not going to be a post player clogging up the paint. And that was Angel Reese's game. She was not a perimeter player. Things would be spread out a little bit more, and it would give her more room to operate. And they would have an entire offseason to make her a better overall player in Kim Mulkey's system. So I would have liked to have seen Haley Van Lith come back. I don't believe she is the player that she was this year because her numbers at UNLV, at Louisville were so freaking good. They really were. Okay. So these are her numbers at Louisville. And it's a completely different story. 45% from the field in the postseason, 27 points, 21 points, 21 points, 26 points, 15 points, 15 points, 12, 26, 23, 25, 17, 19, 19, 17, 17. Folks, she was going to be a better player next year for LSU if she would have stayed. There's no way you're as dominant as you are at a younger age and then come over to LSU and have the season you had. So I felt she could have run it back with us and she would have been more of a 15, potentially 20-point scorer. But it just wasn't ever a fit here. And I think it is a... Even though I believe she would have been better for us next year, I think it's better for both parties that they move on. I don't think she would have wanted to risk playing in a system that might not fit her. And she probably wants to go to a team where she could be the focal point. And this has always been the case in when you're a shorter, ball-dominant guard who loves to shoot. It's a harder fit for you. When you go into another system where you have to kind of fit that system, right? Like Allen Iverson was a great, great fit for the Philadelphia 76ers because they just let AI be AI. They let him chunk it whenever he wanted to, and he wasn't really a point guard. He was a two guard. They had Eric Snow run the guard point guard for them, okay? So in this case, Haley Van Lith is a lot like Allen Iverson. More of an undersized two who can distribute some, but a perimeter-oriented player that probably wants to go somewhere else that can build around her. And it makes sense. It makes sense. So I wish Haley Van Lith nothing but the best. She always said the right things. She always did the right things. She stood up for Angel Reese. She stood up for Flage. She stood up for Kim Mulkey. I think she will be just fine wherever she goes, and hopefully we get to go against her next year. I always like those storylines. But shout out to Haley Van Lith, and she also played really hard. While she was sick, she still played really hard defensively, and I will also say this. I will never, ever, ever for the life of me understand why we kept her on Caitlin Clark for so long. But HGL, we'll see you. And I think she will eventually end up being a really good player for another school. Now, here's a good thing about Haley Van Lith. She could still come back to LSU if she wants to. Just because you enter the transfer portal doesn't mean you can't come back. I would still put that at highly unlikely. So there you go. Now, as always, any topic you want to get to tonight, Venmo, Cash App, at Card of the Power, Super Chats, wide open. Kind of a bizarre time. We'll see. It's only a good move if we get a more from Virginia Tech. We shall see. I heard she might be going to Kentucky. But if we don't get an elite transfer portal class, the loss of Haley Van Lith becomes a way bigger deal. It really does. And next year, it's really going to be the Flage show. It really will be. So we'll see. Now, Brock says people need to get off her back and be thankful for her taking a chance and attending the university and trying her best. Yeah, I don't think anyone here is mad that she gave it a shot here. But I always felt that Morrow was going to be the better fit. Tony says the master blaster. The turnovers were one thing. Okay. It's just the 3-point shooting was just off. Like, it never felt like her shots were going to go in. Now, there have been plenty of rumors about an overinflated ball, more so on the men's side than the women's side. Heck, we can't even get the 3-point lines correct in the NCAA tournament. But whatever you want to say, it was a tough, tough year for Haley Van Lith. I'll never forget that Tennessee game, though. That Tennessee game was pretty crazy from HVL. Now, before we talk more LSU women's basketball, I want to get to football. Football is our bread and butter, of course. I do want to show you something very interesting from Blake Baker. He spoke with the LSU media. This is via our friend Blake Orfino at AYS.
I'm sure it ends up probably being somewhat of a mix, but in the secondary, like philosophically, do you prefer more like press man coverage, like playing, going back to that posturing aggression kind of piece, or is it kind of like a zone? Like, how does that end up kind of shaking out usually?
Again, it's based off your personnel a little bit, right? If you got two guys that you can put out there on an island, it makes your job a lot easier, in my opinion, as a defensive coordinator. But I think it comes down to who you have personnel-wise, and then really trying to present the same picture to the quarterback and the offensive coordinator pre-snap, and giving those guys, an opportunity to not have to sit there and, you know, because it can be exhausting from a physically taxing standpoint to sit there and play press man every single snap. So, again, if you were to cut me wide open, we want to play a lot of man, you know. But I also know that we're going to do what's best for our guys back there as well.
Now, what do you do with that? First off, good question by Wilson Alexander of The Advocate. I love it when reporters ask questions about specific schemes, especially if it's the coordinators, the ones that actually call the plays. So we rarely get that insight. So big thanks to Brian Kelly making his coordinators available to the media. Now, if you want a full breakdown of earlier this week, Joe Sloan speaking with the media, we did that on yesterday's live stream. But now, that excites the out of me. Then we're going to get back to playing more aggressive man coverage. Now, why is that important? Well, today, and I'm not going to show you the clip here. You can check it out for yourself. As we previously stated, we already released a film study on what happened at scrimmage practice earlier today. PJ Woodland really taking it to Kyron Lacy. Now, Gary Nussmeier threw an absolutely perfect ball, and Kyron Lacy made an amazing catch, but he was out of bounds. He was out of bounds. So what does that mean, if he was out of bounds? Well, that means PJ Woodland locked him down. He pinned him to the sideline. What actual LSU corners do. Now, I like PJ Woodland coming out. He was a later addition to our class out of the state of Mississippi. And look, he might not have been a part of this class if Kai Bates and Andre Evans actually stuck with their commitments at LSU. And obviously, Kai Bates went to Tennessee, Andre Evans went to Georgia, and PJ Woodland could be that guy. Maybe this is another Malik Nabers situation where Malik, it was a miracle that Mr. Nabers was a part of our recruiting cycle. So I was very happy to see PJ Woodland get some of the first team reps today. And I'm also very freaking excited about the future of our secondary. Now, what I would also tell you is I have been cautious in how I address certain position groups and players. It's never easy to be here, being critical or, shining a somewhat negative light on anything. But you also come here for truth. You guys put your time, money, and resources into LSU sports. So you come to me to try and get an objective opinion, but also a fan's opinion of what I like and what I don't like. The defensive line is an issue. And I am not sure if it's going to be able to get fixed before next year. There are layers to this. It's why LSU spent the money they spent to go get the coaches that they got. I know Big Game Boomer is a very unscientific list maker, but his list of the best defensive line coaches in America, Bo Davis was number one and Kevin Peoples was number two. And now they are both on your staff. Take that for what it's worth. Okay. Both of them have pretty good grades on Dave Bartu's grading system. And I will tell you this. They have their work cut out for them. The ends are interesting because there are a lot of defensive ends in that room. A lot. And I would like to think that a few actually emerge from the pack. But where the issues are at defensive tackle. I don't know what they're going to do to fix it, but it's a problem. It is a big, big, big problem. It should never be the case at LSU that your first team defensive lineman was a third string offensive guard on last year's team. And that is the current case right now. Your second team, defensive tackle are transfers, right? And one of them to walk on. I understand there might be some players battling injuries, but it is the biggest issue on this team. And you see, the poll question right now, it was during our premiere earlier today. Poll question right now is, Haley Van Lith entered the transfer portal a good move for LSU? 60% of you say yes. I say yes-ish. It's a good move for both sides. But my poll question from earlier is, which position group is the one that concerns you the most? Type Y for yes, type N for no right now in the chat. Is it the defensive line? Type Y for yes, type N for no. Is the defensive line the biggest issue for you? Type Y for yes, type N for no. Okay. Let me know. As we always do, we take a look at what's going on around the SEC. All right. And we'll get back into the defensive line discussion. Once again, first $20 super chat, you will get an LSU autograph card in the mail. I got Allie Highsmith to the next $20 super chat, or if you prefer Micah Baskerville, we have him. We have Jabril Cox, because I want to chat some linebackers today. Here's three LSU linebackers for you and super rare cards. Big news. Arkansas's basketball coach is out. Eric Musselman is out. He's going to USC. Now, what does that have to do with LSU? It does open up an SEC job. Arkansas is one of the top three jobs in the SEC. Will Wade could be their guy. I'm just preparing you for it. I don't think that they would go in that direction. I'm hearing Chris Beard. But what really interested me is USC is not a better basketball job than Arkansas. It's just not to me. I mean, UCLA basketball is, not USC. They're probably, if anything, at best equal. But Eric Musselman's from the West Coast. His wife is from the West Coast. So what we know is coaches like to move closer to home. They just do. Unless they're at an elite, elite job. But you saw it this offseason with Mike Denbrock. Wanted to move closer to home. He goes to Notre Dame. What do we know about LSU's football coaching staff? A lot of them are from Louisiana. This is where they want it to be. Bo Davis. And obviously, Lake Baker. Obviously, Joe Sloan. Cortez Hankton. Frank Wilson. Corey Raymond. And with the transfer portal and your work schedule being what it is now in college athletics, I think you're going to see more coaches do more of the move closer to home thing. If they're not going to go to the professional ranks, and if they're not at an elite job, like Eric Musselman's not going to go from Kentucky to USC, but if it's Arkansas to USC and it's a somewhat lateral move, they're going to move closer to home. So we had Xavier Atkins on the show a few weeks ago, the LSU linebacker. And he said it meant a lot to him. A lot to him. That all the LSU defensive coaches are practically from Louisiana. Or have coached in Louisiana for a while. It matters. It's not the deal breaker. It's not the be-all, end-all. But regionalism has always mattered in college sports. Always. So it's very interesting. It really, really, really is. So two things about that big story. Whenever a big-time coach leaves an SEC job, there's a domino effect. That's my domino effect move. Actually, I figured out the other day, if I do the thumbs up, I think that's actually what causes a thumbs up on here. Let me see. No, it's not what I thought. If I did that, that's actually what causes like the bubble thumbs up. I don't know. We say hi to Shane. JJ, what's up, man? It's been a while. Tony the Tiger's in here. Yes, going on a little bit earlier today to accommodate the LSU baseball schedule. What's up, Thomas? Good to see you. Okay. Hakeem wants to talk some women's basketball. Velez and Richard will have to get developed in order to help POA next season. Turnovers were ridiculously high that they were. Let's go to Holden. He says D-line is going to cause issues for the linebackers. Not fair to Perk to judge him at inside linebacker with surrounding circumstances. Yeah, I mean, sure. You know, any linebacker is not going to succeed if they have defensive tackles in front of them that aren't doing their jobs. With that said, though, they do want to try and figure out what the best way to use Harold Perkins next year defensively, what will actually look like. What I can tell you is you should be concerned with all three levels of the defense right now. So, like, for instance, you know, for me, let let me go through like pretty much every position group right now. And some of this is spring practice intel. Some of it is just my overall feeling. Because normally when I get any kind of spring practice intel, I'm always very cautious. And you should always be cautious. Obviously, I feel really good about the offensive line. I feel really good about the quarterback. And some of that is because of the offensive line. I feel really good about the receivers. I do have some concerns about the tight end room. Not Mason Taylor, obviously, but can we get some good backup action there? And can we get some guys we could trust to run some 12 personnel? Running backs obviously is a concern for me because of the numbers there. We'll see what happens with Trey Holly. I think Trey Holly can be a solid SEC complimentary back. We'll see what Caden Durham could do. But you can make a case that every position on defense, position group, is a bigger concern than any position group on offense. And that is a concern overall. It really, really, really is. And some of it is just, you know, simple math here. All right. It's just simple logic. LSU's got three defensive tackles that are going to get drafted. I would be perplexed if all three did not get selected. I could see one of them potentially sliding out, whether it be medicals or whatever the case may be. But I think Mekhi Wingo, Mason Smith, and Jordan Jefferson will all get drafted. They're all basically Senior Bowl guys. So we'll see. We'll see. But when you lose three NFL draft picks at defensive tackle, sometimes there's not – it's not like at Georgia where there's like 15,000 other defensive tackles ready to go. Like, and you know, the pressure on Dominic McKinley has gone up. And I'll tell you this. It's a very small sample size. Very small sample size. But My jaw was to the floor watching the defensive tackles today in practice. Now, are they going up against the best offensive line in the country? Probably so. And will every team we play have an offensive line as good as ours? Probably not. But, you know, It's worrisome. It really, really, really is. Let's go to JJ. He says, good to be in here. Carter, you loved my interviews in Bossier. Gabriel Relaford shook your speakers. Huh? Yeah. You know, we'll have to wait until the spring game. By the way, I'll be at the spring game. I want to sit with you. Not been to a spring game in hell, I don't know when this last spring game I went to. So, yeah, I mean, and what could happen is we might have to run more press man coverage on the outside and get out of two high looks so we can have extra people into the box. So there you go. We'll follow up here with JJ. Once again, any topic you guys want to get to on the sun, feel free to Super Chat, Venmo, Cash App at Card of the Power is preferred. It obviously helps feed my family. It's my full-time job. And most of how I survived through your donations, through your viewership. Let's go to JJ. Good to be in here. No. This was your question. Our tight end talent should allow us to run some good play action calls from 13 personnel on short yardage. Yeah, so that's something that, you know, Mike Denbrock, I felt forced a little too much, which is three tight end sets in and goal situations. And if you can do it, it is a very fun way to run offense. It's not what I like to do. I'm not a big 13, 14 personnel guy in short yardage situations because it just cramped your line of scrimmage. And it's suboptimal when you have a deep, deep, deep wide receiver room and you're forcing tight ends who might not be ready to play SEC level football onto the field. So, yeah, it's an interesting dilemma. And it goes to show you that, you know, if you're ranking the most valuable players on this team, Mason Taylor might not be your most valuable player, might not be your best player, but it still could be a situation where the drop-off from the first guy to the second is massive. Absolutely massive. So we'll see if Mac Markway continues to develop. And hopefully he does. And Kamarion Pipton, who's been mostly working with the threes at the tight end position. So we'll see. You know, the issue for Pimpton is it really is a new position for him. You know, in high school, he was a wide receiver. And now, you know, at the collegiate level, got to be able to block some. And blocking's hard. It's really, really, really hard. And in the film study that we released earlier today, we talked about PJ Woodland. We talked about a lot of different players. There's two players in particular that did some things that showed me growth. One of those was Kyle Parker. Kyle Parker had a huge block in the scrimmage to free up Caleb Jackson and to score a touchdown, basically. And last year, he struggled finishing those blocks. And that is very respectable. That is very, very respectable because every LSU wide receiver is coming to LSU to catch the football, not to block. So what's good is if you have receivers on the outside who can block, that's good for your 11 personnel packages. It doesn't make you have to put an extra tight end on the field if you're able to have wide receivers who can block guys on the perimeter. And that was Kyle Parker dominating Major Burns, a guy, 2 years his senior, maybe three. Kyle Parker is on the younger side. So that's very impressive. Another guy I want to show some love to in our practice video from earlier is Deshaun Womack. So Deshaun Womack showed some growth because when you go to LSU as a defensive end, you want to rush the passer. That's why you're going. You want to be the next Arden Key. You want to be the next Chaseon. And Arden Key showed some – Deshaun Womack showed some growth because last year he struggled retracing his steps. And for a sack today, it would have been a sack, in practice, he showed good discipline, retraced his steps, and made a play. So I share those two players in particular. Part of making the jump from a high school player to a college level player is doing the things that you don't want to do. And if you do those little things that you don't want to do, well, the things that you want to do will start to come because you're starting to get more opportunities. You're starting to get more reps. If you're able to do the little things right, I'm able to justify keeping you on the field. Do you think the entire coaching staff at all times wanted Kyron Lacy to be on the field because he was a drop liability? Probably not. But what did the coaches see in practice? Well, they saw every day that Kyren Lacy was lighting up DBs, and this was before the end of last year when he really started to emerge. But what coaches always saw was his blocking. And when Kyren Lacy would go out there, he would block his ass off. And that gave him more reps. That gave him more respect in the locker room. And now he's the alpha of one of the better offenses in college football. So really freaking excited for Kyle Parker and Deshaun Womack doing those things today. Once again, it's a small sample size, but it's something that stands out to me.
Okay.
Let's see here. Do I think Tre'Davious Green becomes a tight end or ends up like being a big receiver like Plaxico Burress? I think he'll be a tight end. I don't know if he's as fast as Plaxico Burress, but Plaxico Burress, of course, isn't nearly as big as he is. Tre'Davious is, what, 6'5", 6'6", and way bigger. So, if Tre'Davious Green can block, he's going to play a lot next year. A lot. But that's a big if, right? And he's not much of a yak guy, like where you get him the ball and he just runs past people like a Brock Bowers or something like that. But he doesn't need to be. If you're that big, yeah, I mean, you just throw the football to him. And maybe he has better yak skills than we think, or that I think. We'll see. But it's a big if. I mean, this is the third year in a row under Brian Kelly where the guys coming in the fall are some of your more big impact guys. It was definitely the case in year one, kind of the case last year, and another case of it this year. So we'll see. I see a lot of people still want to talk some Haley Van Lith. I've always wondered this. I've always wondered this as a guy who studies player progression pretty often, honestly. I always wonder if there are cases of players who just completely fall off. Not injury related, they just fall off. And it's not because they're old. It's just in the prime of their athletic careers, they're just not as good as they once were. And it's honestly pretty rare. You know, normally, let's say the NFL, for instance, a running back gets worse when he hits age 27. It's not that his talent went down. It's pure athleticism. More often than not, if you're good, you remain good. And Haley Van Lith at Louisville wasn't just good. She was very good. Not the elitists of the elites, but she was very, very, very good. And this year, she wasn't. So I'm kind of interested to see, just from a pure fan of sport, did she just forget to play? Does the 3-on-3 tournaments affect your 5-on-5 game? Maybe that is something. I don't know. Because in the 3-on-3 tournament, she was lights out. Louisville, lights out. Tennessee game, lights out. So what happened? And I hope she goes somewhere else and lights it up. Because that way, it allows us to reevaluate our system and say, well, maybe there are some things we need to adjust. Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. We got some LSU baseball tonight. Excited about that. First pitch scheduled for 6 p.m. in beautiful Alec Box Stadium. Kind of shocked we have as many people as we do with the adjusted live stream schedule. Even though I'm not shocked, we got some of the best PHL Nation supporters on the planet. I'm shocked that not all of you are going to Alec Box Stadium. Six p.m. Central. JJ says, was she asked to do a completely different role this year? Yes and no. I mean, the goal was for her to play the point guard because we had a huge hole at point guard with Alexis Morris gone. And point guard, if she's able to play point guard, it's easier for her to transition into the WNBA because she would be an undersized two in the WNBA at 5'7". So it was kind of a mutually beneficial thing. LSU brings in a super talented transfer. And look, I watched a lot of her 3-on-3. And she was very good in that. Like going up against some of the best players in the world. It just didn't work. Running the show just didn't work. And some of it is I think, square peg in round holes, right? It's a weird fit if you are option number four when you're used to being option number one and you don't need to be the primary scorer. So, you know, I actually think she's going to still light it up wherever she goes. I really do think so. And I want her to. I really, really, really do because she stood up for her teammates when Angel was taking a lot of stuff this current season. But we'll see. And what I also thought happened to her is what teams would do defensively, and Iowa did this and it worked. When she was missing shots, she didn't want to shoot anymore. So they would just sag off of her, and then she had some really just bad turnovers. I felt like her confidence got shook at times. But yeah, I mean we went over the shooting percentages. It was just tough, but I wish her nothing but the best. I'll always be a fan. I'm always a fan of anybody that plays for LSU. Let's go to Jay Frank. He believes there is more but behind the scenes with HVL. So what do you think it could be? Do you think it's just something? It might be the case. I honestly don't know. I really, really, really don't. I don't know. But now, her spot's open in the transfer portal. Maybe you could get the transfer from Virginia Tech. So, we'll see. Now, LSU baseball versus Virginia Tech. Type Y for yes, type N for no. LSU wins this series, they win 2 out of 3 versus, I said Virginia Tech, Vanderbilt. Type Y for yes, type in for no. I feel so bad now I'm on the subject of baseball for the Oakland A's fans. We'll wait to Arkansas. I see another big ESPN guy mention it as a potential fit. Oh, man, our fan base would melt. Stephon Diggs will wear number one, the single digit number thing. It never ceases to amaze me. You give an athlete a chance to rock a single digit from his current number, they're going to do it every single time. Doesn't matter which one, they're going to do it. Lance, we don't do maybes. We don't do maybes. Carly Rae Jepsen, she does maybes. I don't do maybes on here. It's either a yes or a no. Jordan says, yes, there he is with Kim Mulkey at the College World Series last year. I saw that. So Jay Johnson took away their phones. Am I a number purist? Kinda. I am. I am. I would definitely not wear a single digit number because everybody does. All sports, it's all about the single digit number. Mm-mm. Rock an obscure number. Rock something wild. Like Luka Doncic out of nowhere got to the NBA. Give me 77. Huh? I love it. I love it. Give me 77. I still couldn't believe it, though. Stephon Diggs is 31 years old. He's washed up. He's not as good as he once was. The Texans are paying him $43 million this year. $43 million. Still couldn't believe it. You want my full thoughts on it? Go to Power Hour NFL. Just for this year. For their number 3 wide receiver. Don't forget, go to powerhourlsu.com/shop. Please go get your PHO merch. If you've been rocking with me for a while, I've got to go get the merch, man. I do not want to shut the site down. I might have to here pretty soon. powerhourlsu.com/shop. You know you want it. I have not seen the new David Tell special. He was a straight up asshole to me, though, when I approached him in New York. Asshole. Which is fine. He didn't owe me anything. But if I ever see him again, I'll tell him that you hurt me. Yeah, you should never go up to MJ for an auto. There will be a PHO meetup for the spring game, so I'm pumped up for that. Here's some news for you right at the end. Victorious Miller has committed to LSU. ESPN top 100 player, number 41 in the ESPN top 100. There you go. We'll end on a high note. Big thanks to each and every one of you. No super chats tonight, so no top super chatter award. That's okay. And yeah, hope you guys sign up for the Patreon. There are some extra practice notes on the PHL Patreon page. It's obviously another great way to support what we are doing here. And another way to support. Here is the practice breakdown right here. And that'll answer your question right there, Holden. Talked about that right there. We'll talk to you Sunday night. We'll be our next live stream. It is Pow Out LSU. Boom. And tonight, I appreciate that, Mike. We are doing, oh yeah, burgers. Let's go. Let's go.